Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Go ahead and grab your seats. Thank you. Who's glad they came to church today? Come on. I love that we are a worshiping church. You are loud. I have to say, at the moment, this side is definitely louder than this side. I'm just saying, because from where I sit, this side is definitely louder than this side over here. I've just proved my point there, haven't I? But you get another chance next week, so just saying. I love that this house will always be a house of worship. And I love how the word and worship always work together. And I feel like in our worship today, we've already preached the sermon. You'll see as I go into today, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is on our case today, and he's going to do something special. A special welcome again if you are visiting here, and for the child dedications. We're so glad that you're here. Please don't be a stranger. And I know this might be a different type of church experience to what you've used to, or a slightly strange environment to you, but we're all right, really. We're not that strange. But just glad that you're here. Just enjoy it. I know we've got the opportunity to hang out a little bit after. And so please don't be a stranger. This can be your church as well. So just before I get into the word and read a scripture to you, as Isaac said, I just want you to remember this Tuesday night we have Soul Night. If you consider yourself part of this church family, we'd love you to be here on Tuesday night. We just spend a little bit of time talking about things in church that we haven't really got time to get into on a Sunday, a little bit more detail, some behind the scenes things that are happening, to pray together, worship together, and just speak of those things with myself and Cheryl. So looking forward to that. And then the following Tuesday, on the 19th, we begin our Leadership Tuesdays, which we are really excited about. If you don't know, we have a college, and we've made the decision to pause our full-time college program in order to focus on this. Why? Because we believe God has some amazing things lined up for us. We believe that, I spoke last week about how there is new wine ready to be poured out, but the new wine has to go into a new wineskin. In other words, if you want different results, you've got to do something different. And I believe this is a time where we've got to do something different and step forward, because God wants to do so much in us and through us. We have to be ready to receive it. So in this season, we're going to focus on growing together as disciples and as leaders. And that starts on Tuesday, the 19th. It's open to everybody. Runs from 7 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. It is free. We already have over 50 people signed up for that. So please get involved. It is going to be brilliant. So that is that. Okay, we're going to read from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. It's a popular scripture. I'm going to read it to you from the Message translation. Here we go. Are you tired? Worn out? All the parents said, amen. All the parents said, with toddlers said, yes. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. I love this is Jesus speaking, and he's saying, you don't have to make yourself perfect and have it all together. Just, yeah, you might be tired, you might be burned out, but come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. Your true life is hidden with Jesus. Come to him, you will recover your life. He'll show you how to take a real rest. Not the kind of rest that comes from watching a few hours of Netflix, or the kind of rest that you've probably got yesterday if you tried to watch England play football. Man, if you're struggling to sleep, just put that on. It was dreadful. But he'll show you how to take a real rest. This is interesting. He says, walk with me and work with me. He doesn't say, stop everything, stop your walking, stop your working, just sit in it. No, no. Jesus is saying, I want you to continue on what you're doing, but I want you to do it with me, because that's the difference. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it, Jesus says. Jesus is instructing us to follow his example. I love this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Get out of the rat race. Get off the wheel. Instead, no, join him. Join Jesus in what he is doing. Join his rhythms. They're not forced, and they're just showered with grace where there's an ease and a lightness. That is what Jesus is offering you and is offering me today. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Does that sound good today? Yes. Anybody want to learn to live more freely and lightly in Jesus' name? Yes. Amen, amen. The life God calls us to lead, this isn't promising that our life will always be easy, but it's promising us that there is a way to live this good life that he has for us. But how do we walk through it? And Jesus is saying, do it with me, because he's modeled it for us. If anybody had a reason to be stressed out, it was Jesus. If anybody had a reason to be dissatisfied, to complain about how things were going, it was Jesus. He was beaten, he was mocked, he was arrested and imprisoned, ultimately killed. He was misunderstood, he was talked about, he was laughed at. His team were a bit of a mess and kept failing and kept messing up. No matter how many times he instructed them, they'd still go out and do it wrong. He didn't have any possessions that we know of. He didn't have anything going for him in this life as we stand back and look at the life of Jesus. And yet, full of wholeness and vitality and peace and joy. I don't know about you, but I read the Gospels and I get the idea that Jesus was good to hang out with. He was good. That's why I said, let the little children come to him. What? Because the children weren't running away from him. They were trying to run to him because they liked to hang out with him. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it yet, but there's a great series called The Chosen, which is out right now. And I would really encourage you to watch it. And it just depicts the life of Jesus. And it's really helpful to just get a glimpse. I know it's a sort of artistic impression, if you like. But it's good just to see that character. And I find Jesus quite funny in the series. And that's kind of how I think he liked to party. He liked to hang out with people. He was always surrounded by people and he liked the party. Jesus came to show us a different way than this world is showing us. Jesus came to reorientate us to the truth and the true way that we should be living. And we, if you believe in Jesus, you are not just called to be a Christian by title. You are called to be a disciple. You can be a Christian without being a disciple. Because a disciple is somebody who is learning and growing, apprenticing under, learning to be more like the one who is instructing them. When he says, come away with me, it's going away with Jesus and learning. Not just having a title over your head and hoping that you get to heaven one day. No, it's actually changing the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we go through this life. And that is the basis of our mission statement that we introduced in June, is to grow disciples. That is the journey that we are all on. He's calling us forward to walk his way. And today we're going to look at how Jesus did that. And the title for today's message, because this is what I want to get to, is as we look at that, I want us to reassess success. I want us to think about our pursuits and reassess success, because if we're not careful, we can set out with the best of intentions but end up in the wrong place. I remember some years ago, I was in a rock and roll band, and true story, and we were doing a gig in London, and we decided that we needed to get all the gear there, so we hired a van. And so I went with my friend. I was in the car, and the plan was I'd get in the car, take him to get the van, He would get the van, we'd meet somewhere, put all the stuff in the van, and we'd head down to London, him in the van, me with the band in the car behind. Simple. So we get to the van hire place, I'm waiting, he goes in the office, does the paperwork, I'm sat in the car park, one thing, another. Eventually, the van pulls out, I follow the van. I'm following this van, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure this is the way to London. And, oh, you've got there, okay. You were faster than me. So I'm following it, and I'm thinking, you know, if 10 minutes go by, I'm thinking, where is he? Are we going to McDonald's on the way? I don't know where he's going. Eventually, we pull into a housing estate. I'm thinking, this definitely isn't. We go, oh, round the corner, up a road, round the corner, pull into a cul-de-sac. This van pulls out on the drive. This bloke, who I've never seen in my life, gets out, looks at me as if to say, who are you and why are you following me? I kind of went, he went in his house and I realized I'd been following the wrong van. At which point there was a phone call, where are you? Well, funny story. But if we're not careful, we set out with the right intention, but we're following the wrong model, we're following the wrong way. And it takes us time sometimes to realize until we get there, how did I get here? And it was the right intention. And Jesus, I want us to look at the life of Jesus and look at how he did it so that we don't get caught in the same trap that we're running towards something. And Jesus is going, no, 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 no. This is the way I want you to go. So we're going to look at reassessing success. And before we get to Jesus' model, I just want us to explore a little bit about how the world is informing us on this. And some of the teaching today, I'm going to show you some diagrams today. Whiteboard last week, PowerPoint this week. Guys, levels. And the teaching is based on teaching that I've read by a theologian called Dr. Frank Lake and actually a Christian psychiatrist called Emil Brunner. And they did this study together and looked at the life of Jesus. And so I'm not claiming any of this as my own, but I think it's important to relate to you today. And so this is often how we approach life, and it'll start appearing behind me. We all want to succeed. We all want to succeed. We want to achieve. And so we set out for achievement. Does anybody want to succeed in here today? It's not a trick question, honestly. I'm not going to pull the rug. In about 10 minutes, I'll pull the rug. But do we want to achieve and be a success? Yes, okay. There's not many of us that get up in the morning and go, I really hope today is worse than yesterday. We want to achieve, we want to succeed, regardless of your faith in here. Maybe you wouldn't profess to know Jesus, but I think all of us, no matter what our background, would say, yeah, we want to achieve, whether it be in our business, our career, our family, relationships, even in ministry. Nobody sets out going, I really hope this doesn't work. We set out to achieve, which is good and it's noble. And one of the reasons we like to achieve is because this feeds into and gives us a sense of significance. It feeds into that. So we all, again, it's a noble thing. We want to do something that matters in this life, don't we? We want that sense of significance. But if we're not careful, it's feeding into this sense of we are what we do. And often guys are the worst at this. You introduce them, hey, what's your name? Jeff. What's the next question? What do you do? It's like, it's the only thing we have to talk about if we're not talking about football. It's just the standard what, because we're interested, and it leads us to this fascination about what do we have? What have we built? What car do you drive? What kind of holidays you go on? That is because we're buying into the success that the world gives us. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. If you have a nice house, a nice car, that's fantastic. But this is showing us that when we seek achievement, sometimes that's what happens. And then we start to build our identity from that. We find our identity in what we have, in what we do. We go, well, I'm the head teacher. That's what I do. That's who I am. I'm the worship leader. Or I'm the accountant, that's who I am. Which isn't, it's not the best way. I'm going to show you that as we go. Because what happens then is we get into this word that they looked at called sustenance or our drive. what drives you along in life. In the world's model, what happens is we seek the achievement, which is fantastic, and then we get our sense of significance and identity from that. But the problem is, to sustain that, we need more of it. We need more success, we need more achievement, and we need that to sustain us. The success drives the achievement. And it's good, as you can see, while things are going well. But what happens when things aren't going well? This leads ultimately, this achievement ultimately leads to our sense of acceptance. And we find ourself and our acceptance in our acceptance from others and from ourself. We judge ourselves whether we will accept and enjoy and love who we are based on the cycle that the world has given us. Well, if you've achieved and therefore you are significant and you are prominent, and that continues to drive you along and you keep seeking that, then ultimately I can accept myself because I'm a success. I can accept myself because what I've done, what I drive, who I am, what I have, and the people that I know. I think we can all see the problem that is happening here. We take our value ultimately from our achievement, and this model basically has two sides to it, inputs and outputs. The inputs into our life are the achievement and the sense of significance. The outputs are what drives us. It's good to take pride in what we do. It's good to want to seek to achieve things. But what I'm pointing out to you is we're on a cycle that actually the psychologists call a cycle of works or a cycle of grief. This kind of cycle where we're in a place where it's great while things go well, but when things don't go our way, what happens? When personal criticism throws us off because somebody says, it's great, well, you're doing such a great job, it's really good. But what happens when people stop saying that? Oh, you're doing amazing because your business is doing great. But what happens when the business isn't going great? It gets us into this cycle. But thank God for Jesus. Jesus came and shared our humanity. He came, was a man who walked this earth, and as I said earlier, he faced challenge, if not far more challenge than we'll face, and yet walked with joy, a lightness, and a freedom, and he invites us into that. You thought this is how this world works, and this is everything that the world will teach us is how it works. But the Bible is clear. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. There is a different way. And Jesus says, I'm going to take this and I'm going to flip the whole thing around, and I'm going to call it a cycle of grace. And he takes a thing and he turns it around. Same words, but in the completely opposite order. Jesus invites us to a new journey. Jesus' journey flips round the inputs and the outputs. The input is no longer achievement and significance. The input is our acceptance of who we are and where we are fed from. Where does our sustenance come from? In Jesus' way around, he does not start with achievement. This way, the way of the gospel, it starts with acceptance, knowing who you are in him. It's that that sustains you. It's the relationship with him that sustains you. That is our input. He is your reward and he is your refuge. He is your energy. And now from that, the output is that we find our identity, not based on what we've done or what we've achieved, but based on who you are. And when we live that way around, we're settled, we're secure, we're outworking his plan with obedience, and ultimately it leads to fruitfulness, success, and achievement. Doesn't that sound like a better way? Come on. I just want to walk us through each of these points in the time that we have and just put a little bit more detail on them. And as I do that, I believe God's going to minister to our hearts, and I'm not pointing this out so that we all feel condemned. There is no condemnation in Christ. But I think in some area of our life, we all fall into this trap, me included. I don't think there's anybody that's immune from this, because this is the pull of the world, and we all, of course, we want to achieve things, and it's not wrong to want to achieve things. Of course, it's good to aspire to leadership and to want to achieve in business, but it's about the motive. It's about the pursuit. It's seeing those things as fruit rather than the ultimate goal that we're aiming for. So let's look at them one at a time. First of all, our acceptance. My first point for you today, acceptance over achievement. Acceptance over achievement. Let me read to you from the life of Jesus, Luke 3, verse 21. This is when all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And now Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. I've left that line in at the end because it's in the Bible. It's better not to take things out. But I left it there because I find that line quite funny. He was the son, so it was thought of Joseph, but it's almost like the people around were going, "So is he God's son or Joseph's son?" Because I thought he was Joseph's son. And God's going, "No, he's my son. He's my son." And this is what underpins his ministry. At the start of Jesus' effective ministry, God says, "You are my son. I love you and I'm pleased with you." God did not say, "This is my son. He is so powerful. This is my son. He is more powerful than anything. To him be the glory. He is the son of God." No, no. He spoke to the personhood of Jesus. And what underpins his ministry is the fact that he is loved by his Father God. And I love that we were singing that song today. And some of you, 5-6 times around, you're going, "Yes, I know he loves me." Yeah, but do you know? Have you let it really drop into your spirit that he truly, truly loves you, allowing ourselves to be defined by him, by our acceptance? You are a child of God. Just listen to this. If you question this today, Genesis 1, 26, 28, "I'm created in God's image and he has blessed me." Psalm 139, "God knew me intimately from the moment I was conceived." Ephesians 1, verse 5, "I'm adopted as an heir of the living God and I'm seated with him in heavenly realms." Romans 8, verse 15, "I am a child of God, a son and an heir. He is my father. I'm a joint heir with Christ." Psalm 18, "God delights in me so much, he holds me up so I don't fall." Ephesians 2:10, "I am God's workmanship, masterpiece." 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17, "I am free." Galatians 3, verse 6, "I am a child of God." And on the Bible goes. You are loved, you are accepted, you are chosen. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what's happened to you, you are loved and you are chosen. And that has to be the basis that all our life flows from. Listen to me, church. You are not chosen according to your good looks, your abilities, your upbringing, your sense of humor, your own worthiness. You are not chosen. You are chosen according to the Father's love, Christ's sacrifice, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So if that's the basis that our life starts from, the acceptance of God, the second point I want to make to you about this sustenance or this drive is that it's about relationship, not results. We live in a very results-focused world. Look at the results of Jesus. It wasn't going very well up until about 3 days after he was crucified, to be honest. If you looked at his track record, but the world's looking for a certain type. They were looking for a king that was going to come with an army and overthrow the Roman government, and Jesus is going, "No, that's not how this works." And some of you think, "Well, I'll go into that job and this will happen and I'll start that business and I'll do this, and this is how it works." And Jesus is going, "Well, that might be your plan, but that's not what I'm doing." And then we get frustrated because our plan doesn't look like his plan. But if we actually walked with him and walked in his plan, we might understand and find his peace and understand that he's guiding us through it and he's leading us somewhere. Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full, this is straight after he gets baptized, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the enemy. As soon as he'd been baptized, he started his ministry, and the first thing that happened was an attack from the enemy. But I love that it points out Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. That is a defined, that's something that is lifting out. This is what is special about Jesus in this moment that we have to pay attention to, that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus often went to the quiet place to pray. He was fully God and fully man, yet he went to spend time in prayer with his Father God. But we struggle to fit prayer in, don't we? But Jesus, the Son of God, modeled, no, if it's good enough for me, it's definitely good enough for you. Jesus retreated to the quiet place to pray. And let me ask you this, what is sustaining you? Is it the drive for, hey, this is going well and that's happened and this is good? Or maybe on the negative side, you that sense of, well, this has gone bad and so I must be bad and that didn't work, so I don't work. No. What's sustaining you is being with him. The spiritual disciplines, that's one of the things we're going to talk about at Leadership Tuesday. It's about training, not trying. I know spiritual disciplines sound like work, reading your Bible and praying and fasting. It sounds like work, but it's not about trying. It's about training to do all that God has for you. Don't try harder, draw closer. Okay, Jesus, let's think about him. What sustained him? Full of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? What else? He was full of the Bible. He didn't have the Bible that we read today, but the Old Testament, often when he speaks to the Pharisees and Sadducees, he recites the scriptures to them. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Bible. I just said he retreated to pray, but he spent time in fellowship. He lived a generous life. Jesus engaged regularly in worship, in the community. All of these things were what sustained him and are the things that are supposed to sustain us today. Jesus fueled himself for the journey in those things. We should do the same. So it's about acceptance over achievement. It's about relationship over results. And it's about, final one as we look at, well, the third one, sorry, as we look at significance, it's about position, not performance. Jesus went into the desert, and it says this in Luke 4, verse 3, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Again, his sustenance. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. But Jesus said, no, it said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It's interesting that the first quest the enemy had against Jesus was to attack his identity. If you are the Son of God, he said. If you are, because our identity is so important. But Jesus resisted the temptation to confirm his identity through performance. We have to do the same. Your identity does not come from your performance and your achievement and your track record. It comes from your relationship with him, knowing him, being loved by him, being sustained by him. That is where our identity springs from. So whether we are on the mountaintop or the valley floor, whether things are going well or not, we can say, it is well with my soul. Because that is where the pursuit has to come from. Not about what we do and what we have, not about what we do, but who we are becoming. That is the important question. And the devil is a liar, and he will get us caught in all kinds of traps like comparison, or we allow others to define us. And here's a really key one. The enemy causes us to question our identity and our significance. Just in the same way that the enemy went after Jesus and said, if you're really the Son of God, what happens in our life, we have these changing seasons. So maybe I used to do this, or maybe you've changed your job. Maybe you've retired. Retirement is hard, man. the more I talk to people who retire, because so often we get our identity bound up in what we do, and then you step into retirement and it's like, well, I'm not that anymore. And I think there's got to be more talk, if I'm honest, about how, I'm not retiring by the way, but I think there should be more talk in the church about how we approach retirement, because it's a huge shift, and the enemy loves to get in there and go, well, you're not that anymore. And we lose our identity and we get stuck in that. And we think, I used to do this, maybe in the church, I used to be part of that, I used to be part of this team or that team, but I don't do that anymore. And what the enemy loves to do is, well, you mustn't fit now, because you used to hang out with them, but they've moved on now, and they're not in the church anymore, so, hey, your friends have gone, so maybe you don't fit now, and maybe it's a, no. It's just a new season. And we've just got to be careful that we're not attaching our identity to the achievements of the past and what we were a part of and who we were with, because God's saying none of that sustains you. What sustains you is your relationship with Him. And I believe that as we continue in relationship with Him, there's always purpose. There's always fresh friendship. There's always fresh joy. There's always fresh learning. There's also changes of season. And every time there's a change of season, we can't think, well, this didn't work, I'm going to go back to striving for it. No. We have to keep pressing on to what He's called us to. Whatever those new circumstances are. The challenges are not unique to you, but don't let them define your identity. Your identity is in Him. My final point is the title of the message again, which is to reassess success. John 13, Jesus knew that the Father had delivered all things into His hands and that He'd come from God and was returning to God. Jesus knew who He was. So He got up from supper, laid aside His outer garments and wrapped a towel around His waist. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel. I love this. Jesus, knowing who he was, got down on His knees, wrapped a towel around, and just started to wash the disciples' feet. He started to serve. But Jesus, you can't do that. That you're Lord of all the earth is your footstool. You can't possibly, but Jesus is like, but this achievement, what this looks like, this doesn't sustain. I'm not doing it for praise. I'm not doing it to achieve something. I'm doing it because I'm just confident in who I am, and I'm doing what God has asked me to do. And I think when we understand that, when we know who we are, there's a peace that comes from it. There's a strength that comes from it. So we're not chasing those things and striving those things. And listen to me again, it is not wrong to aspire to leadership. You might be here thinking, I would love to, preach one day or lead worship, or I'd love to own a business, or I'd love, whatever. That's good. That's good to aspire to that. But if it's not working out the way that you thought, what then? God's got you on a journey, and I want to encourage you, the pursuit is to pursue His heart, not the outcome. What we see on this is that the inputs are our relationship with Him. The input is time with Him. The input is our acceptance. The input is our drive coming from Him. The output, then, we know who we are. And then the achievement, the success, is fruit. It just grows out of us because of who we are, not because we've chased the fruit, not because, I'm trying to squeeze out an apple. That's not how fruit works. Fruit is excess life. When we're just a non-anxious presence, we're just whole in Him and enjoying Him. I don't know how much of that cycle of works or grief you recognize in your life. Maybe there's areas where you think, I just need to let God be God and I need to step out of the way. Maybe you've held something up as the target and you're realizing actually Jesus is the target. Jesus is the pursuit. We're going to worship a little bit, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to do something in our hearts as we do. And we don't use the word repentance very often in church because it sounds quite aggressive in some ways. But repentance just means to turn around. And I want to encourage us as we worship, and we'll stand in a moment, just where we've put things ahead of the wrong way around, where we've put our achievement and our identity ahead of just pursuing Him, just accepting who we are in him and allowing him to sustain us. I want to encourage us to just turn that around today. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I've not followed your way. So let me ask you again, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live lightly and freely. Amen. Come on, let's stand together and let's worship.
With a melody, with all my peace,
a song
of deliverance for my enemies, till all my fears
are gone.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love calls me my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm
We're going to keep worshiping, but in this moment, I don't want us to just play church. I want us to do business with God. So I know time's going. We're coming to the end of our service. We're going to have a little party for all the families with the child dedications later. But right now, in this moment, you are no longer a slave to fear. You are a slave to nothing, not to achievement, not to striving, not to be the person that you're supposed to be, not to be the person that your parents are telling you you have to be, not to be the person that you are trying to portray to everybody else that I've got this all together and I've got it all sorted. Jesus, God just sees straight through it and he says, when are you going to get real? When are you just going to come to me? Just come home. Just be you, just come home, because when we're honest with him, he has the power to change your life, to put things the right way around as we commit to him, as we are obedient to him by the power of his Holy Spirit. We don't do this on our own, we do it with his power inside of us. And I believe today that chains are going to break. Are you with me today, church? Come on, chains are gonna break. Things that we've been held back with, lids that have been placed on our life. I know it's warm in here, but we are going somewhere today because Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is gonna break things off people's lives today. So come on, if there's anything in your world where you were like, I wanna stop striving for that. I wanna stop trying to be that person. I'm just gonna be who God has called me to be, and I'm gonna walk in confidence. I'm gonna accept that I'm loved. I'm not gonna walk under shame or guilt anymore. I'm going to walk with my head held high because I'm a child of God. Come on, any of that, if that's you, come on, lift your hand today. Come on, and let's press in. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's press in. Thank you, Lord. We believe the chains are going to break. Thank you, Lord. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Break chains in here today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Go for
it. Thank you. I hear these chains falling. I hear those chains falling. As we lift his name up high, I hear those chains falling.
Come on, Grace, you sing out. I'm a child of God. I choose to listen to your voice, Father. I choose to listen to your voice, Father. I am who you say I am, Father. I am who you say I am, Jesus. I am who you say I am, Jesus. Jesus. I'm not who they say I am, Jesus. I choose to trust you, Father. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. For you are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. For I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me.
I am who you say I am.
And we sing in one voice this morning, who the Son sets free. Here we go.
Who the Son sets free
is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I. Yes, I am who you say that I am. Yes, I am who you say that I am. For who the Son sets free is free. You're a child. In my Father's house, there's a place for me.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in this room today. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, that we can turn to you anytime we need you because of you, Jesus. You receive us just as we are. So, God, whatever achievement or significance we've put before you, God, we just turn back to you. That you, Jesus, the relationship with you, Jesus, would be our true pursuit. God, we thank you that when we pursue you, all the other things follow on, but we just come back to you today, Jesus. We come back to you. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at lifechurchhome. Have a blessed week and we'll see you soon.